Go to Romans 10. We'll pick it up there. Chapter 10, verse 6. It says, the righteousness which is of faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. And without faith, it's going to be really impossible to get answered prayer from him on a consistent basis unless you're a babe. I mean, you know, he did that in the early days when we had the milk bottle in our mouth, but he doesn't do that anymore. You have to grow up and learn how he does it. And he likes the fact you can stare a backward circumstance down, not be moved by it, and bring forth a kingdom that cannot be seen with a natural eye, cannot be heard with a natural ear. You have to bring it in by faith and faith alone. You can't bring it in by your works. When you do, that's called Ishmael. When you try to bring what God has promised in by your works and your sufficiency and your ingenuity, and we see a whole lot of this rampant in the church, replaces what God can do with what man can do. Man's pretty good at a lot of things. Man can make certain things shine, but it'll never manifest the demonstration and the power of this gospel. Can't be done like that. This realm is only going to be brought in by faith, and it is going to be brought in by faith. The whole thing's going to be brought in by faith, but we have to understand how he brings that in. Hallelujah. Believing God for a first world glory is a little bit different than believing him for a pair of new shoes. Amen? I mean, there's a whole lot more there to believe him for. There's a whole lot more training and development. Hallelujah. So he says, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart. Your heart can say a lot of things. Your heart will speak a lot of things. And right here is going to be the difference of manifestation or no manifestation of your future coming into manifestation of the earth or just remaining in word form. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Wow. Or that is to bring Christ down from above. We do that a lot, you know. When we want something from God, we picture him as there and us here. And our heart says, Father, bring it down from heaven and manifest it. And it's telling you right there, don't say that. That's not where your faith needs to be, because that's not where it's actually going to manifest. And you got to understand that part of it. It's very necessary we understand that part of it. And it said, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ from the dead? I used to think God was geographical. When I got tired of where I was, I ran to another place. I kept thinking, well, if I run over there, God will be there. And I ran there, ran to Memphis, ran to Tulsa. I was about on my way to Florida, ran to Austin. I'd run all over the country, you know, just thinking if God was there. I mean, in the early days, literally, I'd pack my car up and leave that night and just show up in that city. I was very hungry for God, had a whole lot of zeal and not a lot of wisdom during that time, you know. And I'm thinking, if God's there, I'm there. Praise God. Then he wasn't there. This is nothing but trouble. And so you have to understand where to rest your life, and your faith is not always running. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the grass is not greener just because you decide to run. How many of you figured that out by now? Usually God's going to have you stay and sit down, especially if you're going to birth something of any substance. You got to learn to sit down in that land of faithfulness. But you also have to learn how he does it. And he's teaching us that now. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. What saith it? Now, he's actually talking about salvation, but he's also talking about the keys that release the kingdom of God. It says, the word is nigh thee. Say, nigh thee. It's in thy mouth. It's in thy heart. Now, he's not talking just about the printed words here. You know that. He's talking about an inheritance he brought to you by way of the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost came into the right hand of God, he's talking about he brought that word. A word of inheritance sometimes can be 15 to 20 teachings, and he calls it a word. I have a series called like Mount Hebron Inheritance. I can have 11 teachings on that, but that is a word. Capernaum Inheritance, I have about 10 teachings on, but it's still a word. It's an image. I see that word. He's sown that word, and it's an inheritance brought, just like any inheritance of the earth, it's brought down out of the right hand of God where he's the appointed heir. He brought that inheritance down. That's why he said, say not in your heart, who shall ascend? Amen? He brought it to you. Everyone say, he brought it to me. He brought it to me. Hallelujah, Father. Glory to God. Now go over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And he's going to repeat this. Now, I find this interesting. This is one of the very last sermons. It was the last sermon that Moses spake before the children of Israel went into the promised land. In fact, this is one of the last chapters. This is the meat of the entire book of Deuteronomy here. And he speaks this right before entering into the promised land. Chapter 30, verse 11, Deuteronomy 30. This is what he gives them. This is the last instruction. I find that very interesting. This is instructions God's given us. The book of Deuteronomy was all spoken in one day. That wasn't a book that was spoken over a year. Moses stood right there at the banks of the Jordan. He had the children of Israel there. He has them right there, and he gives them and delivers this entire sermon. This is like a sermon he gave to them. 34 chapters. It was very important what he told them. Maybe this is our last sermon before we enter in the promised land. Maybe it's our last series. Because this much I know, and I had to go up to the right hand of God and spend a whole year there, dwelling in that place, speaking of that place. Somebody asked me, do we have to go to the right hand of God? I said, well, that's a good question. But in reality, he brought all that to you. But I had to go there to find all that out. He brought the whole thing to you. That's why the Holy Ghost came down to you. The glories of that inheritance as the appointed heir of the Father, it all, he brought it to me. Now what he wants to do is manifest it through his church. And the veil of the heart is where he's going to do that. That's the final veil. It's going to dwell within you. Now watch what he says here. Deuteronomy 30 verse 11. He says, this commandment or the word which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. Say it's not hidden. The call of God is not hidden from you. What you've been believing God is not hidden from you. You just think it's hidden from you. Because you're looking for it to manifest here. And just because it hasn't manifest here doesn't mean it's not hidden from you. As far as God says, it's not hidden because it's in the form of a word. He brings it in the form of a living promise. But to God, it's just as real as manifestation. Especially when that word comes in the manifestation. Hallelujah. Ever wonder why you have to wait so long? You know why you got to wait? Part of the process, you do have to wait. You know why? There's a process between God planting and then bringing forth the harvest. The number one reason why you have to wait is you're going to have to learn a few things, but I'll tell you, one of the great reasons is he's going to remove from you your capacity to do it. And only really waiting can do that. How many of you holding a promise in your heart? You know what that feels like to carry a living promise that never leaves you day or night. How many of you know what that feels like? And you got to wait on it and wait on it. Well, after a while, you're going to get tired of waiting on it. How many of you get tired of waiting on it? And then if you really tired, you're going to get ambitious. Just like everybody has done. And what you do is I'll help God out a little bit. And out comes capacity of Ishmael or Amalek. Both of them, they kind of run the same boat. And out comes your capacity to do it. Now God allows that because he's got to get it out of you. Because it's always going to be there if he doesn't. And so your first time you go through something like that, God's probably sometimes, more often than not, a little more gentle with you in the process. But if you're like me or other granite heads, I'm not a granite head anymore, but I used to be just a little bit, or very ambitious, when you go through that, you'll try to birth it and you'll fall on your face just a little bit. It'll be minor. How many of you had a little minor fall? Scrape your knee kind of thing in the spirit. You get back up and you go at it again and you wait. You wait, and you wait, and then all of a sudden that old thing kicks in again. Because if it's not dead, it's going to kick in. They're going to say, if it's not dead, it's going to kick in. Abraham what? Had two sons. You got two sons living in you, whether you know it or not. You got a capacity for Isaac, and that's the promises. That's going to be only done in God's one way. God's going to do that, no other. But then you have the other son, which is Ishmael. You have that capacity. That's why you're going to wait, because he's going to get that up out of you. He made Abraham wait. And the more ambitious you are, the more you fight, the longer you wait. Isn't that good news? So the quicker you can get to the place called surrender. I surrendered 100 times and it's still my capacity was there. So God in his mercy, some people don't like this particular doctrine, but it's true, anyway, allowed me to be broken. Because that was about my 5th pass through and it just wasn't going to let go. It's kind of like a racehorse. You got to break that racehorse into obedience, because if he's wild at heart, he's got to be broken into a place of obedience. Sometimes that's easy. Some are broken easier than if they got a whole lot of heart and a lot of fire. They make great racehorses, but they still have to be tempered and broken. The way we used to do it is that we'd put them in a barn, in the alleyway of the barn, and we'd tie a rope on one side of the barn, and we take an inner tube and just cut it and tie it, the end of it to a rope, and then the other end, and have the inner tube stretch and tie one side of that to the horse, and then go to the other side and do the same thing, cut an inner tube, and then we just let him pull all day. If he's wild, he's going to pull, he's going to jerk, because you got to get him used to that bit, so you put that bit in his mouth and just let him pull. You just leave him there. Just leave him there until he just pulls, because every time he's going to fight those tubes, and he'll back up, and he'll fight all day long. He'll back, and those tubes will stretch when he gets tired of fighting. He'll come back in, and he'll get comfortable. But he'll fight and fight and fight and fight and fight until there's no fight left. You're going to get a bit put in you when you walk with God. But he does this to temper you and get that part out of you so the part he can really use, get it ready for birthing. Amen. How many of us believe that we're actually past that part and we're going on into birthing? Raise your hand. That's where I believe we are. Because, I mean, once you enter brokenness, you know, you don't want to dwell in brokenness forever. There are people that never come out of brokenness. They just live in brokenness and then they adopt self-pity. Once you start adopting self-pity in your brokenness, you're going the wrong way now. Because that kind of stuff is a breeding ground for all kinds of stuff. Once you get somebody working in self-pity and woe is me, you know, they'll get all up in that, and all of a sudden, even though they may have been legitimately broken by God, now they're not moving in faith anymore. They're moving backwards, and they are attracting all manner of problems. There is not one person that lives in a continual state of self-pity that's going to prosper in fullness. That's not going to happen. The self-pity is going to draw all kinds of the wrong attention to yourself. Spiritual attention, too. It'll be followed by depression and all kinds of manners. So just because you've been broken, you got to continue to move in faith. Moses, he's giving them the final, the children of Israel. They had been through this journey, and he brings them in, and they've been broken. You know, he gave them this book. They were walking 40 years in the wilderness, way too long. One generation died off. He said, look, this is how we're going to do it. We're going in the promised land. And here's how we're going to do it. And so he says, this is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Everyone say, it's not hidden from me, and it's not far off. This much you got to know by what you're believing God for. It is not hidden from you by the Father, neither is far off. Put your hand on your heart. Say, Father, what I'm believing you for, it's not hidden from me, neither is it far off. It is not far off. But rather, what saith it? Thy word is nigh thee. Thy word is very nigh me. It's in my heart. It's in my mouth. What you're believing God for, he brought a word to you. That's why it's there, because the Holy Spirit planted it there. That's why it never leaves, because it stays there. It'll survive fire. It'll survive all kinds of pressure, circumstance, turmoil. The devil might steal everything from you. One thing you need to rejoice, if you've come through a major season of fire and there's nothing left and everything around you has been burned and you got scarred a little bit too, and you're standing there, this little thing's still in there. You mean, God, you're still here? You ought to rejoice at that. Because what happens, the enemy came hard. Boy, he comes for blood, man. I tell you, when he comes hard. What he wants is to steal that word from you. Now, if you emerge from the fire, one thing the Lord spoke to me the other day, he goes, son, just because you've been through the fire and the water, he goes, who has it? He goes, well, the thing you need to rejoice is all that promise is still there. It's there. It's in fullness. It's intact. It hadn't gone anywhere. It's living greater than it ever has. And that's the inheritance you're looking for. And just because your Ziklag was burned to the ground is probably because God didn't call you to dwell in Ziklag. That's where David wanted to dwell. And God said, I got a lot better things for you than Ziklag. Sometimes we just settle for things in our journey. I mean, because we can't see very far. It's too much pressure, too much warfare. And God said, no, that ain't going to do. Just let it be burned. You know why that? You can't go dwell in a place that's been burned down to the ground. You know, he's 3 days of being crowned king in Mount Hebron. 3 days from that position of Ziklag. He says, well, what saith it? It's not far off. This is where you got to get your faith. You got to know. You got to get here. You're going to have to let the Holy Ghost show you. It's not far off. It's not hidden from you. It's not far off. If you think it's hidden from you, then what you're going to do is start indicting God. How come you hadn't done this? You see, if you think it's far off, but it's not, you got to know how he does it. He requires you believe. He put it in your heart in the form of a word, but it's actually an inheritance that he's brought to you that he is going to manifest here in this natural realm. But he requires that you not only believe it, you're going to hold it there. You're going to have to keep it there. And that's where you're going to have to look for it to manifest, right there in the midst of the heart. Because that's where the Holy Spirit brought to come dwell in you. And that's where he's going to bring it out and manifest it. Out of your innermost being is flowing what? Rivers. That's where you got to get. And if you're not there, you need to start saying it every day. I mean, you're going to have to get your faith to that. As long as you think you got to go all the way up into heaven for God to bring it down, you're in the wrong position. You don't believe he brought it to you. You don't believe it's abiding. And you're looking from the wrong place for him to manifest. You got to know the Holy Spirit brought it down. Amen? All right? Look at this. He repeats it. This is where Paul was pulling this from right here out of Deuteronomy. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us? Now this beyond the sea. I'm going to give you another one. It's not in tomorrow. It's not in one day either. How many of you ever had a one-day faith? Boy, I've been watching myself lately. Also, what I'm trying to keep from saying is, oh, it's so close. What means so close is it's so close, but I still can't reach it. You know what I'm saying when I say that? It's not in here. I'm changing what I'm saying. It's in me. At least say that. It's in me. It's abiding in the midst of my heart. And the only place it's got to go is through this thin veil. Thin veil. This thin veil of my spirit, out of it, it's got to flow out of that veil. But it's in the midst of my heart. See, it's in there. It's in me. It's not one day he's going to do it. One day he'll never show up. How many of you ever had one day faith? I know you have because I've had. One day he's going to do it for me. Glory to God. One day. One day will never show up because you'll keep looking for another day. What saith it? It's not one day. It's abiding in your heart. You got to get it there. That's good stuff. You got to have to get it there. That's where your faith has to come first. It's a major, 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 major. The Lord spoken to me. He said, son, this is a major milestone to understand this. And to rest understanding your faith, your mentality, and your belief system, and the fact that it's in you. I brought it to you. If I can get you that far, then we can work on moving it from that position out of the heart. Out of the heart. Listen, it's your faith that's being exercised, but the Holy Spirit's the one going to do all this. Only he can take the water and turn it into wine. Only he can take that word and bring it into a realm of manifestation from the kingdom. And when you get something birthed out of the kingdom, everybody around you is going to know it. You're not going to have to go tell them. They're going to see it. They'll know it. That blessing will get up on you because it's coming with glory too. It's coming with glory and power. That blessing, it's in me. I'm going to tell you what, if you hear me say we're close, correct me. It's in me. It's in me. It's in us. It's in us. It's with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The abiding word with us. Got to get to that place. It's not in heaven. I got to go up and get it because he brought it down to me. I pray to the Father in heaven. But the Holy Ghost right here is the one manifesting. Father, all he's got to do is step across the line. Faith as well. Release it. That's all they got to get. Right there. Once your faith gets lined up with heaven, Father gives the word, the Holy Spirit. He's right there. He's right there waiting. He's looking up. Are they ready? Are they ready? We're right here. Here we are. Father, when are you going to do this? Holy Ghost, I'm with you. I'm with you. When are you going to do this, Father? Where are you? You're totally in the wrong place. Can't manifest like that. So if your word has survived a fire, you should rejoice. Because it's been tried by fire. It's going to be tried. If it survived Ishmael's and Amalek's and fire, you need to rejoice at that. Because it's intact. And if it's gone through that process, it's going to be ready to reveal into the earth. Just make sure it's abiding up in your heart. It's in your mouth. Now let's look at Solomon's wisdom concerning this. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. Now let's look at a very familiar verse. And then I'm going to take you back a few verses and show you what that verse means. Solomon gained this wisdom. Moses had it. Abraham had it when he birthed. Solomon had it. Jesus had it. Paul had it. And I have it. And you have it. Amen. Boy, when you learn to just interact with the Word of God in your heart, you don't have to look any further for your future than inside you. When that light bulb comes on, you are going to be one blessed, devil stomping, mountain moving, tongue talking, heart believing champion for God. When you get that right there, because if you think it's anywhere else, you're going to go look for it. And you're going to go look for it. You're going to get all sidetracked. You're going to be out there birthing all kinds of things that are not. And you're going to go down a big old long circle, real long, around the mountain. They'll be coming back around the mountain very soon. So they get out there and say, oh, they'll come back. They'll come around the mountain. Just give them some time. Proverbs verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. One of the wisest men to walk the face of the earth before his fall. Look what he's telling you to do with your diligence. Keep it with all diligence, for out of it are flowing the issues. If you have an NIV, it's probably going to say well springs of life. The issues of life are going to flow out of it. Now, before you see that part, a heart void of the word, the only thing that's going to flow out of you is you. You understand that? He's not just telling you keep your heart. You have to back up a couple of verses to find out what that heart was full of. And he was telling you to keep it. So let's back up to verse 4. Proverbs 4:4. He said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, it would be an utter impossibility to not have a living word abiding in your heart. If you love him and pursuing him, I'm telling you, it's a matter of time. The Holy Spirit's going to make a deposit of a promise. That's just a fact. He's going to do that when he deposited that promise. If you don't have that promise deposited, you can always just go, because there's a whole book of deposited right here. Deposit slips, just take one of them and make one. Amen? Well, what should I start? Probably the area you struggle the most would be the one God wants you to overcome. God didn't ask you to struggle all your life. He asked you to overcome. We've all been very good at struggling and enduring. Endure to the end, he said, overcome. All right? So he says, let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments, or keep my word and live. Now, your heart's going to have to learn to retain the word of God, because you do have an enemy that's very skilled, because he knows a whole lot more about the operation of how the kingdom works than we do. He's very skilled. He'll either try to counterfeit it. He'll try to draw it out of you in the form of human sufficiency. Or Ishmael, he'll try to counterfeit it with Amalek. If he can't do that, he's going to just down right out and try to snatch it out of your heart. Mark 4 says he comes immediately for it. He's coming with persecution. He's coming with affliction. He's coming with a barrage of circumstance. He's trying to steal that thing that came out of heaven because he knows what's in that word can frame the generation you live in. It can frame your generations if you can bring it out of the veil of the heart into the earth. The word will not manifest until it gets out. Amen. It starts within, but when it's drawn out, that's when manifestation is. A whole lot of people carrying a whole lot of promises that have died with the promises. Amen. Just because you got one doesn't exactly mean it's coming out, because it's got to come out God's way. God requires faith to bring that forth. Now, how does faith work? Solomon's wisdom is going to show it. He says, let the heart retain it. The first thing you have to do is you're going to learn. This is the place where it all happens. You got to get very focused up in here. You got to learn to retain that and protect that place, because that's where he's bringing the deposit. Verse 5 real quick. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Proverbs 4 and 5, neither decline from the words of my mouth. You know how easy that is to do? Decline from the words of his mouth? That's easy to do. You can get real distracted. First number one thing the enemy will throw at you is distraction. Get you detached. I found one thing, his word lives a whole lot brighter when I'm real close to him. Boy, his word burns. So does promise. When I'm not, the word gets dull. God gets dull, the promise gets dull. Now, anybody that's gone through that, because that season of dullness, and when we're in an adolescent stage, we just walk around that dullness. We just kind of stay dull. That happens. Everyone probably has gone through that. But what happens, those of you that are in process, you stay dull very long, and you think you're just going on. Because once you get dull, guess what happens? Guess what starts coming alive? The world system. It starts, your desires of the flesh start increasing. Now, if you've ever taken that ride where you've moved away from the Lord, that's not an easy journey back. How many of you can raise your hand? Once you've gotten a little too far away from him, that's not a very easy journey back. And to get back there sometime is very painful. So those that have been processing that pain kind of watch their life a little closer. They're a little bit better steward of what's going on, because they know, hey, you know, I can sit out here, and even though I don't feel like it, if you ask me how I stay so close to God, more often than not, it's because of the pain I've experienced when I've gotten away from him. It's not because I'm the most disciplined person in the world. I can tell you that right now. I just don't like the pain. I don't like pain. I don't know about you, but I don't like it. And I know when I get away and I get outside, the enemy's right there to gobble me up. He can't wait to have a swat at me. He can't wait. I know. I got a certain levels of grace that I can walk in. But I found it gets really good if I stay close. So what I'll do is choose my pain. Sometimes it's pain to die daily and go in the kingdom, even though the kingdom's glorious when you get in there. Sometimes it's pain. You got to put your flesh down and do the things necessary. Some people are not willing to do that, but when you're not willing, that word gets snatched up and you just roam around and never land, and you get back in the one day faith. Well, one day it's going to happen. I mean, how old are we going to get until one day doesn't show up? You know, I don't know if you notice this. The older you get, time flies much faster. The years just go, shit. And I'm still very, very young. But I mean, this year's already, we're in June. I just blinked my eye. I mean, I'll tell you, another blink of the eye, we got to start getting Christmas started again. I mean, that's how fast it goes. That's why he said, your life's but a vapor. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your life? The devil would just rather you not ask that question. He wants to manage you. He certainly doesn't want anything in the kingdom breaking out of you.
So he says, don't decline. Don't allow yourself to decline. Why? Solomon's wisdom could see that. I've just experienced it. I've experienced the pain of declining from God. I know what it feels like. I know if I don't get myself all geared back up and jump back up in there, I already know pain's coming. Why do I know that? Because I've been processed enough to know it. I mean, it happens the last 5 times, 10 times. You know the process. If I just keep letting myself be pulled out, I'm going to get duller and duller and duller. All of a sudden, I'm going to get out there. And the enemy's going to have his way with me. Because I've been down that road before. And I'm way away from the place I really want to be and where God can really make it happen. I'm going to tell you something. Out here in no man's land, you are never going to see a promise birthed. You're not going to birth till you get up in there and do it his way and get close to him. That's where you birth from. But I'm telling you the truth tonight. How do I know that? Experience. Lots of experience. Look at verse 20. Now, here's the meat of it. Look at verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Okay. Now look at verse 20. This is where he's building off of. My son or daughter, attend to my words. You want the interpretation of that? Give attendance to my word. Attendance is sit down in the classroom and attend. Attendance roster, check, not here, check, not here, check, not here. Are you attending? When's the last time you've given attendance? Now, you can read that like, oh, I'm going to open my Bible and read it for 5 minutes or 10 or 15. That's part of learning. But more importantly, right now, he's going to talk about the inner word that's in the heart because he's leading into that. He said, you're going to have to give attendance to my word that's in your heart. You're going to have to give attendance to how this works because I'm sowing it into you for a reason. I'm putting this word that it will produce a kingdom that's not of this world. And to do that, I'm going to bring a kingdom that's not of this world in the form of the word, in the form of a living word, in the form of promise. I'm going to put it on your lampstand of your heart. And you're going to have to give attendance to that. You're going to have to meditate it. What he said, let not the word depart out of your mouth, but meditate it. You're going to give attendance to that word. You're going to have to guard it, keep it, attend to it, put your mouth on it. Verse 21, love this. Same thing Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11, exact same thing. He said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them. Look at that. See, how do I know given attendance? Keep them where? Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. If you haven't had the Holy Spirit deal with you about this area right here, between underneath your chin, right above your waistline, right in here, if he hasn't taught you to live there yet, well, guess where you're going to live? Outside of the box that he birthed from. He said, keep it, attend to it. Let not thy word depart from thy heart. He said, what he said, keep thy word in the heart. He wouldn't tell you to keep something in your heart that didn't have a capacity to be taken from your heart. So you got to learn to operate from this position of the heart. Keep it in the midst of your eyes. Now, you can say that by reading, because I used to see that, but I'm going to tell you the more powerful place is keeping the word in the midst of your eyes of faith or your spiritual eyes. I'm going to have you close your eyes for a minute. Everyone in here, close your eyes. I want you to picture the chapter 2 of John. I want you to picture chapter 2 of John where he says he filled the water pot with water. He says, fill it to the brim and pour it out. The water became wine. Okay, look at me. Is there anyone that actually saw words scrolling across your sight when I said that? Fill, F-I-L-L-V-T-H-E, water, W-A-T-R. You don't
see words like that. You see images. Because that's your imagination that's being set by the Word of God. Your imagination was seeing the Word. Do you hear that? Your ear heard it, but you didn't see a word there. You understand what I'm saying? You didn't see F-I-L-L rolling across. If you did, we are going to pray for you. You feel the water. You've pictured a water pot. That's why God gave you that glorious imagination. That's how he dealt with Abraham. He had to see his descendant as the stars of heaven. You got to see. You were seeing. Don't look now with your eye of faith. When he says, keep thy word in the midst of your heart. Keep it on the frontlets of your eyes. He'll tell you, bind it to the frontlets of your eyes. He's talking about keep that image. Hold that image. When I see the word of what I would consider the kingly anointing or the government of the kingly anointing, I see Mount Hebron. Now, I've taught 11 teachings on Mount Hebron, probably more when I added Melchizedek to it. But I see the whole train. I see that mountain that Abraham was buried in, Isaac was buried in, Jacob was buried in. I see they dwelt around that mountain. A lot of their prosperity came from around that mountain. They lived around that mountain. They were all buried inside that mountain. I saw that mountain 400 years of having that anointing of Abraham. All those patriarchs, that anointing, it rested upon them. That anointing, a generational inheritance, got into that mountain. It got into the soil. It got up in there. 400 years later, he calls these people out of Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. God said, I got some goods for you. I got an inheritance for you. Moses said, go and bring the fruit out of the land. You know where they brought the fruit from? Mount Hebron. I mean, it was the hot. It was the creme de la creme. I mean, it was it. That fruit came out of that anointing that was buried in that mountain. That's why Anak was there, Anak. They were sitting up in the giants. They said, this is a good place to dwell. They didn't dwell up in there for nothing. It took Caleb 45 years for Caleb's faith. He held that for 45 years, and finally Joshua gave it to him as an inheritance. Do you think that that mountain, if it wasn't nothing to it, after 45 years of carrying one promise in a wilderness and being denied after he gave a good report that God was going to give him some lame piece of land? No, he gave him the very best, and that mountain was it. That mountain was the prime place. It was the planting of the Lord. I see that mountain like that. I see King David, where David was crowned king first in that mountain. It birthed the greatest Old Testament reign. See, I see that. That's what I'm saying. You got to see that in your heart. You got to keep that and hold that there. He said, don't let that depart. If you don't, you'll go out trying to do it some other way. Man, the church is filled with people operating out of human sufficiency. Once you start getting up in this, you can look at that. Are you kidding me? That's nothing more than flesh standing up there. You won't even buy into that kind of stuff. Power of positive thinking. They're trying to bring it out of the brain. Forget it. It's coming right out of here. A living word going to be manifested from the kingdom of God within you. You're going to have to keep it. That's what Solomon's telling you. Bind it to the frontlets of your eyes. You got to hold that vision there. You got to learn to hold it. You're going to have to take some time and sit down and look at that and speak it. We did this Tuesday. We interacted with it. Wasn't that good? We got in there and just got up in that word like that. But you hold that, interact and bind it there. Why? Because that's where it's birthed. You're not going to do that if you don't believe it's right there. If you don't believe your breakthrough is right there in the midst of your heart, you won't do that. You'll go outside and try to do it another way. But as you believe it's right there, my future is right here. It's in this word you've given me. If you can't believe yet it can flow out of you, at least believe it's in you. You got to get that far. It's right here with me. I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to speak to it.
He said, what do you say? What saith he? The word is very nigh thee. It's in my heart. It's in my mouth. More than just the mountain up in there. Capernaum inheritance is up in there. That's the city of demonstration. That's when Jesus left Nazareth. That's when he got going. Most of his major miracles took place in Capernaum. He testified to every strata of society in Capernaum. All of them. Chief of police, chief of religion, the nobleman, chief of politics, tax collector, chief, IRS chief, fishing industry. See, that was all the Capernaum. That lives is a word, see. You know what the glorious part of this? If you have it right here, there's only one veil that's got to pass through before it comes into demonstration. Guess what that veil is? The veil of the heart. If you've got it right here, if you think it's out here or over here or tomorrow, you don't have it where it needs to be for the Holy Ghost to release it. It says, keep them in the midst of that heart. Keep it. Bind it. Keep it. Bind it. Keep it. For their life. Unto those that find them. Find them. That's a little bit more than being on this page. Finding it is finding it up in your heart. You find it, see. You hold fast to it. Look at this. He says, health to all their flesh. Then he says, this person who has his heart, with his word that's binding it on the front looks of his eyes and he's keeping his heart. Now he said, guard or keep your heart now that's full of this promise, this word. Keep it with all diligence. Keep it. For out of this place will flow the wellsprings of life. John says it like this, out of your innermost being would flow rivers of living water. See that? It comes right out of the veil of the heart. That's the last veil to get it through. Everyone say, that's good news. We just got one veil left to get through. How thick is the veil of the heart? I mean, the Lord told me, he goes, if you can ascend to the right hand of God, he goes, surely you can just believe me to pass it through that veil as long as you know it's in that veil. See how close we are? It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what your circumstance dictates. It doesn't matter what anything looks like. I remember when I didn't know what I was doing at all. I didn't know anything about keeping the word in the heart. All I knew is just to speak it. That's the only thing I knew. And in fact, I was speaking out of the wrong place in those days, but God honored it. I was speaking out there. But I remember I decided I was going to take a stand on his word. And I was going to make a stand. And I got these little scripture notebook cards, flip cards. A little spiral. And I wrote all the words down. Wrote all the scriptures down. I just lived with that thing. I believe God. I spied out the promised land to get the money to buy three of them. They were $5. And I didn't even have $5. Took me 2 weeks. It was pretty bad in those days. I started on that. I was real excited in the beginning. After about 2 months, I was already tired. But I just decided, look, if I don't do this, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 7 months, there was a turning point around the seventh month, my friend. You ever heard me tell this story? But this is a good one. He told me, it was Christmas time. And of course, I didn't have no money. I cut a deal with him. I said, I'll tell you what. He said, but I'll rake your leaves. Bad decision on my part. Good decision on his part. He said, yeah, that'd be great. Because he had those big oak trees. This yard had about 10 of those big oak trees. The ones with the little bitty leaves, you know, about that big. So I started that morning early, 7 o'clock. Because he's going to give me $50 to rake his yard. And it starts raining. But I was determined. I kept raking and raking and raking. That day, leaves and a bunch of black soot that was all over me. I raked 55 bags. Say 55. He felt so sorry for me. He gave me $75. So I made $1.50 a bag. Less than $1.50 a bag of leaves. Man, I was prospering. Woo! I was prospering. I remember, though, that day, even in the rain, I pulled that scripture notebook part because I had made a decision. I'm going to sit there and confess this all day. And I was just doing so mechanical. You don't even have to do that. I had no idea how to bring it in there, hold it in there. I didn't know how to see it. All those things are taught later. I threw that on the ground. And I stood on it that day. And I said, I don't care what things look like. I don't care what I see, feel, or hear. This will change because I will stand on this word till whatever is fighting me gets off of me. Because it was a supernatural man. That strong man would dog my tracks. It was ungodly what he would do. He was sent very early. And I said, God, it's just not normal what I go through. It's just not normal. I mean, I remember you telling me, he'd say things like this to me, who suffered more, Joseph or his brothers? I said, Joseph. He said, well, who inherited more, Joseph or his brothers? Joseph. I mean, those are those kind of things he'd say to me. Well, anything happened that day? No, just took a shower, a long one. Nothing happened until about midway through the ninth month. I mean, you'd sit there all day long and think, my God, what in the heck am I doing? I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't take this much to do it. Because I know how it works now. I'm trying to teach you. Boy, if I knew how to pull that right up into my heart, see, I wasn't looking in here for it to birth. I was looking out here. That's a whole difference in the world. You're looking in the wrong place when you're out here. I remember. Well, I make a long story short. I just took this job and God told me, he goes, you're not going to make more than about $400 a week here. Not ever. In Christmas time, you'll make $500. That's it. And I said, I need more than that. He said, well, you're in the wrong place. And God's screaming, take the job. Take the job. Take it. And I'm arguing with a guy. And the Lord said, take it. And I took it. And I'm standing there believing God like this and nothing happened. Well, make a long story short, God broke every record in that company four times over. Four times over in that company. When the anointing finally showed up, the word started becoming flesh. I remember a victory report came out of heaven. Me and a friend were driving, and it just, it hit that truck. We were so inundated with the glory of God that night. It was Wednesday night. I walked into that same place at work on Thursday morning, and this anointing hit me, and something came on me. And I'm telling you, I knew that I knew that I knew the next week, first week, you ready for this? $1,200. Nobody in the history of that company had ever been paid more than $600. And I was paid $1,200 on commission, but nobody did anything. $1,200. Now, that was a whole lot then. A whole lot. Some people, it's a whole lot now. That was huge back then. The next week, $1,500. The fourth week, $1,800. At a place that nobody had ever made $400. Or it was $400 was the norm. That word had come out finally and broke out and started manifesting. Now, that was just a word of provision. Now we're believing a kingly mountain to show up. More importantly, we're believing for the word of demonstration, the Capernaum inheritance. We're believing for a king, priest, government to come up out of these waters. And I lost that. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but that thing flowed into the ministry. That inheritance flowed, and it was amazing things the first 3 years of the ministry, but I lost that flow. And it got capped up by Amalek and Ishmael and every other thing because of my adolescence in ministry. I just didn't understand what I did and capped that well and killed it. When you kill something, you just don't go back and crank it back up. You understand that? You got to protect what you have. But I think that was even the wisdom of the Lord to teach us how that works, because what he's about to crank up here again, we can't afford to lose that. You lose that, it's over. Once you go before a city, you don't have a chance to fall in front of a city. They don't give you a second chance. This nation won't do that. You have a revival and fall in front of a nation, you ain't going to have another revival. Ain't nobody going to trust you. You understand that? So God allows you to make a lot of your mistakes when nobody's watching, but just a few people that love you. You understand that? Because out there, they're not like that. They want you to fall. They're shooting arrows daily. This word, what God has sown, is right there in the veil. It's in the veil of the heart. I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have to go up to heaven to get a revival. You don't have to go screaming up there. He already brought it down with the Holy Ghost, and he's put it in the midst of our heart. That word lives there, and if it lives there long enough, and we understand how that moves out of the veil, he's going to manifest it right in front of the city. You know, it's different because this is how he operated. He operated by the living waters flowing out of him. The gift realm's different. You know when someone has a gift? It took me a long time to figure this out. When someone has a gift, do you know that they can live like a devil all day long? And they walk up in here. How many of you ever seen this? I mean, it just kills people to see how God can use somebody, and then they see what's behind them. They walk up in there, and they are not even in tune one bit, but once that gift turns on, kabam. And then you find out that person falls in front of everybody, and it's like, how did God do that? They were operating out of gift. They were not operating out of that internal flow that comes out. That's a whole different operation. Jesus operated like that. The Corinthian church, that was the most carnal of all, they operated in the anointing in measure. So the Holy Ghost controlled that faucet. He said, look, I'm going to use all of you because I love you, but I am definitely going to control the power of what's coming out of you. That's why it was severally as the Holy Spirit wills, but you didn't see that with Jesus. He had the anointing without measure. What'd he say? What's on me can be on you. If he said it, I can get it right here. If I can get it right here and keep it, and be real wise with the enemy's onslaught against it. I know he's coming, see. I already expect it. Once I get something lodged up there, I'm just expecting some trouble to show up. I'm not expecting the trouble, but I know it's going to come, but I already know what to do with it. Because I say, look, you're going to stay out here, and this word's going to stay in here. But that trouble's not getting inside me. Forget about it. I will not allow circumstantial trouble to get up inside me. And if it does slip through, it's not going to stay there very long. I shake that stuff off fast because I know that's what the trouble was sent for, to neutralize what's going on the inside. Go to Proverbs 6. You'll see this in chapter 3. You'll see it in chapter 4, chapter 6, chapter 7. Let me show you in 6 real quick, verse 21. He's talking about the instruction of the father and mother, but he's actually talking about the word of God here. Verse 21, he says, Proverbs 6, 21, bind them. Look at this word. Bind the word continually upon thine heart. You see that? Bind the word continually. Say continually. Keep thy heart with all diligence, not a little bit of diligence, all. Bind it continually. Go to chapter 7. Hallelujah. We've been through the fire and through the waters, and God's about to bring us out into a very spiritually wealthy place. How do you know? Because we're locked in. Hallelujah. Once you get a lock in, we ain't coming out till it happens. He said he wants you to know this. Listen, when you get real hungry, you get desperate. When you get desperate, you do what you've been trained to do. And a lot of times you'll go and you get on the mountain with God and consecrate and fast before him. And I've done a lot of this, so I know how this works. You'll fast. You know, you can fast yourself up into a very primed spiritual place. Do you know that? I mean, you get up in there in the 21 days, 30 days, you can get very, very primed in the Lord. And you can actually get a hold because your flesh releases. When it does, your spirit's able to lay hold of things. What you're going to find out, if that's not a lifestyle and you don't understand to keep that, once that fast is over, if you're not understanding, it'll dwindle all the way. Has anybody ever experienced that? Got up there on the mountain of God, and all of a sudden you look back 4 months later and said, what happened to that place? I lost it. Whatever you gain, you're going to have to learn to keep. So it's easier to do it through a lifestyle. But I'm going to tell you, if you birth it out of the Word of God like this, that sets up a river that starts flowing, and it'll start multiplying. Because as soon as that word breaks out into the realm of the earth, it'll start multiplying. It'll start increasing. The government's already on it. Ooh, that's good. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words. Well, he tells you a lot, doesn't he? Keep it. Lay up my commandments with thee. Lay them up where? In your heart. Lay it up. Keep my commandments and live. Look at this. My law is the apple of thine eye. See, he deals with the heart and the eye continually. The heart and the eye. Look at this. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write them upon the tables where? Of thine heart. You got to learn to have that promise written right up in there. Write it upon the table. Keep it upon the table. Now, you don't have to spend 3 hours a day with this. Don't have to think that. But you got to spend time feeding that word and living there and seeing it and saying it. I would encourage you to get some of the corporate prayer sessions we've already done off the internet and just listen to them and see how to interact with a word. We're interacting with a word of promise. Well, what do I interact with? Whatever mountain that keeps pressing you daily is the one that you've got to overcome. Amen? So I encourage you to join up into this. Amen? And let that river flow.